Good morning, everybody. Those kids are amazing, aren't they? It's a privilege to be able to just play a little bit of bass with them and help them today. I was here yesterday with them. They were practicing as well, and they just absolutely love it. They just adore being able to have that opportunity to practice, to learn those songs, and to play them before the church. And so I'm just so thankful that we have, like George was saying, I'm so thankful that we have children that that are utilizing their gifts, talents, and abilities, and that we're able to, as parents and as leaders and as a church, mine that, I call it like gold that's within them, sort of bring it out and give them a platform and an opportunity to share it, because all the gifts within the body of Christ are a blessing, aren't they? We're all gifted in different ways, and the more that those things are active and are happening in the life of the church, the better off the church and the people in it are. And so I just thought that was really awesome. So I'm just going to pray real quick, and we'll just jump in to Psalm 46. Father, I thank you, God, for this morning, Lord. Thank you, God, for the worship. God, for our opportunity, God, to love you and experience your love back. For our opportunity, God, to receive from the ministry, God, that you've placed within our young people here at Mount Chapel. Father, I pray, God, that you would just continue as I share. Father, I pray, God, that you would, by your Spirit, Lord, empower me to share your word, God. And I pray, Lord, that you would open up every one of our ears, God, to be able to hear what it is the Spirit is saying to our church today. God, we ask you to come to continue to have your way. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, we're going to be looking at Psalm 46 today. So if you guys can open up to Psalm 46 in your Bibles, or if you have iPads, iPhones, or other devices, just go ahead and open up to it in there. What's amazing is threaded all throughout the service today, without any interaction between me or George or John Platt, was the theme of the psalm we're going to be looking at today. So we didn't talk to each other. We didn't plan it. Nothing George said or John said. We never spoke with one another. We didn't plan it. But so many different aspects of what each one of them shared and what's just happened throughout the worship and throughout the service today are pointing us to this psalm and are pointing us to the truths and the encouragement that we'll receive from it. And I just thought that was so awesome. I was sitting over there during worship, and I'm like, Psalm 46. I was sitting over there while George was sharing out of Isaiah 40, was it? And I'm thinking, Psalm 46. And then John got up and shared, and I'm thinking, Psalm 46. I'm like, this is just amazing. The Lord is so good. He knows what he's doing in our midst. He knows what he's doing in his church, because he is the leader of it. It's a beautiful thing. So the psalm we'll be looking at this morning, Psalm 46, it's a song of the sons of Korah, which last week, if you were here, Ray elaborated on who the sons of Korah were and taught us about who they were in history. It was most likely written for and sang by those with soprano voices. Have you guys ever heard a soprano voice? It's beautiful. Does anybody here have a soprano voice? A male soprano. Male sopranos are incredibly rare, but some males do have that range. Most males that have that range have it in their falsetto, which probably it's just all natural. No, that's awesome. It's common. I was watching YouTube videos with it. It's pretty cool. But a true soprano voice is just absolutely beautiful. And I'm sort of thinking, when I think of that, for some reason, I mean, this isn't the only way that soprano voices are used, but I'm thinking of like a woman sort of choir, and just hearing that soprano just really hit those high notes, and it's just gorgeous, beautiful. Absolutely love it. So it's actually the highest vocal range of all, the soprano voice. And it's most commonly possessed by women. And just real quick, I want to show you a soprano voice, okay? And you guys are thinking, like, really? But the song, Psalm 46, because Psalm 46 is a psalm, was probably saying something like this, okay? Are you ready? Brace yourselves. Grab your chair. Are you ready for this? Might need your help, James. What's that? Let me get a little water here. I'm going to need it. Okay. I'm not going to do it. I saw the looks on just about 50% of your faces. You were frightened. Deep on the inside, you were scared for both me and your eardrums. I just saw it. So it's probably best that I don't try, because I'm sure you all came to church today hoping that you'd go home with your eardrums intact. And so we'll leave them that way. I'm just kidding, having fun with you guys. But that picture, you see, this is what the psalm is all about. So often the sounds of our circumstances in life, they sound terrible and they're off key, which is exactly what would have happened if I would have tried to sing in a soprano voice. It would have sounded terrible. And it would have been incredibly off key. And let's just be honest. We all know that physical feeling of disgust, right? That we get sometimes when a note is sang completely off key. Have you ever heard like something, a beautiful song being sang, and then all of a sudden, and it happens. Nobody's perfect. I'm not condemning that necessarily. But do you know what I'm talking about? Like when there's this beautiful song happening, and then all of a sudden there's like this really, really, really out of place note. Which someone forwarded me a YouTube video, and I forwarded it to Jonathan Ogden. It's on his Facebook wall if you want to go check it out. But it was this gentleman who was probably the most off-key singer ever. And it was just, Rocco was crying. I mean, it was so bad that it was just like, ooh, you know, and bless his heart. But sometimes it's hard to heal. It's hard to hear when that happens. It hurts a little bit. And so it is with us. Sometimes we find ourselves in the midst of circumstances in life that they don't make us feel good, right? We find ourselves in the midst of circumstances of life that they don't make us feel good at all, and they affect us. They make us, just like when a note is staying off key, it sort of makes us cringe a little bit sometimes. But the good news is this. The good news is that this psalm is even more about how God is always abundantly available to us, no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in. Matthew Henry, an incredible theologian who wrote several commentaries, he put it this way. He said, "This psalm encourages us to hope and trust in God and His power, providence, and gracious presence with His church in the worst of times, and directs us to give Him the glory of what He has done for us and what He will do." Isn't that beautiful? I just thought that was brilliant as I was studying. I was like, that is a brilliant quote from Matthew Henry. It encompasses what this psalm is all about. It is said of Martin Luther that when he heard any discouraging news, he would say, "Come, let us sing the 46th Psalm." I just thought that was really neat as well. Let's read Psalm 46 together. If you turn there with me, please. In the NKJV, it's titled, "God, the Refuge of His People and Conqueror of the Nations." What an incredible title. Verse 1, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob, our refuge." I can see why Martin Luther said what he said, and why he said, "In the midst of troubling times, come, let us sing the 46th Psalm." Let's look at verse 1, okay? God is our refuge. We get the word refuge from the Hebrew word makasa, okay? The word refuge comes from the Hebrew word makasa. Why is that important? Some of you are like, yeah, why is that important? It's important because the Hebrew meaning is much more full, and because of that makes this word really come alive. So what does it mean that God is our refuge? What does it actually mean? Because we would read that in the Bible and we go, okay, God is our refuge. That's something good. Some of us would just be like, yeah, that's something good. God's our refuge. Some of us would say, oh yeah, it means he's our shelter. You know, but beyond that, what does it mean that God is our refuge, that God is our refuge? It means that he is the one in whom it is safe to put our trust. This is what the Hebrew meaning says. It says that he is the one in whom it is safe to put our trust. It says that it means that he is the one who shelters us from danger. It means that he is the one who shelters us from falsehood. All of that meaning is wrapped up in the original Hebrew word, makasa, the word refuge, that we get refuge. I'm going to say that again. It means that he is the one in whom it is safe to put our trust. He is the one who shelters us from danger. And he is the one who shelters us from falsehood. Right after Jesus was baptized by his cousin John and enters into the wilderness to be tempted, right? Matthew 4. We see the entirety of this word's definition in action, don't we? You see, the word refuge, it's not just this word with a great definition. It is that. It's a word that we could study out and we could look at the Hebrew and we get this great definition and we can be encouraged by it. But it's not just this word with a great definition. It's who he is. It's who our God is. An attribute of God, one of his great characteristics is that he is your refuge. He is my refuge. It's just a beautiful thing. Let me find my place here. So let's continue on in verse 1, okay? God is our strength. The origins of the word strength are found in the Hebrew word ozei. Sort of hard to pronounce. I haven't got it down yet. So what does it mean that God is our strength? Because again, that's another thing we can say. Yeah, we know that God is our strength. We hear that. We sing that. But what does that actually mean? And I was just blown away. I'm so excited today, honestly, because as I studied for this, and even this morning as I prepared some more, I was like, Lord, this is so true. This is who you are. It's just like lighting a fire and rekindling the fire in me. And I hope that today that this lights a fire in some and rekindles a fire in others, because this is who our God is and this is true. And knowing who he is and being motivated by that makes us fearless in the face of anything that comes in contact with us. It really does. It strengthens us on the inside and in the practicals of everyday life. So God is our strength is the next thing. We're still in verse 1. The origins of the word strength are found in the word ozei. I just said that. So what does it mean that God is our strength? What does that mean? It means that he is prevailing in power. It means that he is mighty and that he is bold. But get this. This is awesome. It also means that he gives us prevailing power. It also means that he gives us might. It also means that he gives us boldness. So God is these things, but it also has a dual meaning in that he gives those things to us, to you and me, every one of us. What an incredible reality. Both the writer and the original singers of this song and readers of this passage, they would have understood it to mean this. God gives us power, might, and boldness in 5 ways. Personally, physically, materially, socially, and politically. And if you don't believe me, just look up the Hebrew meaning for the word strength in Psalm 46:1, and you will see exactly where I've got this from. Because when we hear that, we're like, really, materially, politically? You know, we sort of think of those things and we're like, God gives us strength in those areas? The answer is actually yes. Look at the Hebrew meaning. It says that right in the meaning of the Hebrew word, ozei. It's absolutely amazing. So let's look at how God gave Jesus and the apostles this power, this might, this boldness in these 5 ways, okay? Number 1, personally and physically. While Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness, he was given power, might, and boldness in the midst of it, wasn't he? He was given power, might, and boldness personally, and he was given it physically to overcome the 40 days. That's one small example. And many of you, your minds are probably being filled with example after example after example in both the Old Testament and New Testament of God doing this. Of God giving people might, giving them power personally and physically. He's done it over again throughout the ages and he's doing it right now today. The second one is materially. In Mark 6, Jesus, the apostles, and the 5,000 in attendance, if you remember, are provided for materially, weren't they? When the 5 loaves, 2 fishes. You guys know the story, right? 5 loaves and 2 fishes are multiplied. And 5,000 plus people are provided for materially. That's just one small example. Because God provides materially all throughout the testimony of Scripture, doesn't He? For many different people in many different ways. And He provides materially even for us. I have a short story. He's just recently provided Brittany and I a new car. And to be honest with you, it's beyond anything we fathomed that we would be able to get. Anything we fathomed we'd be able to get. We were like, we're still sitting, I think, blown away at what God has done for us. And you guys will see that, I'm sure, in the next couple weeks. And I personally believe that that was God's provision, His power being made active and Him blessing us in a material way. He's able to do that. That's not the only attribute. There's some doctrines and stuff out there in Christendom where people just emphasize this way too strongly, and they put all the eggs in that basket, and they get sort of lost in that rhetoric. And so that's not the only element of who He is, but this is a characteristic and an aspect of who our God is and what He does for us. He's incredible. Socially, four. All throughout the Gospels and Epistles, we see over and over again God giving Jesus and the Apostles power, might, and boldness socially, didn't He? Even in the midst of persecution. In the face of persecution, they were empowered with might. While in prison, empowered with might. Even before getting their head chopped off, I'm just being real, empowered with might. Singing songs of praise to their God. They were so full of this reality. They knew this was truth. They were full of the Spirit of the living God. And they had power and might in the midst of whatever it is they came in contact with. And they had favor with men as well. It's a beautiful reality. And the last one, last but not least, politically. God has given Jesus the name that is above every other name. The name at which everyone, every single person on the earth will eventually bow and confess that He is Lord. Psalm 2 says that He has given Jesus the nations as His inheritance, the very ends of the earth as His possession. God has given Jesus power, might, and boldness politically. He is our great ruler. And while the politicians of the earth are floundering about and trying to figure everything out, now we bless them, and we want to see them do right and make godly decisions. And we bless them and we pray for them, don't we? 1 Timothy 2. But while they're doing their thing, and sometimes their thing's not in line with our God, God is setting up His government. And He is setting up His government to come one day and to reign and rule forever with us. And it's going to be incredible. He is our great politician, isn't He? He's amazing. It's a beautiful thing and an amazing reality that this same power, this same might, this same boldness that was given to Jesus and the apostles, it has also been given to us in Christ. In His great mercy and by His wonderful grace, God decided that He was going to make us like Him. It's amazing. He has adopted us as sons and daughters, made us heirs to His throne, and said it was better that He go so that He could fill us with the third person of the Trinity and empower us as He Himself was empowered when He walked the earth. It's hard for us to believe this, but it's so, so true. It says that He's closer than a brother. He's adopted us as sons and daughters. He's made us heirs to the very throne of Christ. What's His is ours in Christ. It's an incredible, incredible privilege that we have to be called sons and daughters of the living God, isn't it? It's just amazing. Like, how did He come up with all this? How did God come up with this plan, come up with all this, where He was like, Jesus says, hey, don't worry, guys, it's better that I go. Really? We would love to have been there walking with Jesus, right? Wouldn't that be awesome if Jesus walked in the room and He was physically here with us right now? Wouldn't that be awesome? Well, I have news for you. He's here right now. He's not physically here, but Jesus, the Son of the living God, by way of the Holy Spirit that resides within every single one of us, is here. And He is alive. He is alive on the inside. We are not dead in our transgression, dead in our sins, dead in our trespasses anymore. We are fully alive in Christ Jesus. He didn't pay half of the price on Calvary when He hanged from that tree and He bled and then He died. He didn't pay half of the price. He paid the entire price. He purchased complete freedom for every single one of you and for me. This is who He is. This is what He's done. Gosh, Lord, thank you, Father, for what you've done for us, Lord. For who you are. What an incredible privilege, God, that you've given us to be part of your family, Lord. Such a beautiful thing. Who he is and who we are because of him is absolutely amazing, isn't it? Continuing on to the second half of verse 1. We're still in verse 1. This is how rich the Word of God is. We're still in verse 1. God is our very present help in times of trouble. So what does it mean that God is our very present help? What does that mean? The word present comes from the Hebrew word matzah. And the Hebrew word matzah means this. It means he is the one who encounters us. He is the one who shines his light upon us. He is the one who discovers our need for help and provides a solution. Come on. Come on. If that doesn't get you excited this morning, I don't know what will. He is alive. And in times of trouble, he is very present, it says. Very present. Whatever you're going through, he's very present. Very present. And actually, he's saying, I want to encounter you right now, the Hebrew meaning. I want to shine my light upon you right now in the midst of what you're going through. And I see, I've discovered your need for my help, is what he's saying. I've discovered your need for my help. I know exactly what it is, and I want to provide the solution for you. How do I know this is true? Because the word help, or the Hebrew word Ezra, literally means that he is the one who helps. It literally says, the one who helps. It literally says, the one who provides his assistance to you. So how do I know that he not only discovers and sees our need for help, but also provides a solution? Because the word help itself means that he is the one who helps and that he is the one who provides assistance. He's the one who provides the solution. It's amazing. Again, all throughout the Bible, we see God lavish this aspect of who he is upon many who have gone before us, don't we? An incredible story that comes to mind is that of Daniel in the lion's den. Very popular story. We all know it. We've been taught it. Most of us who've grown up in church our whole lives. Daniel in the lion's den. But that story greatly illustrates this point that God being a very present help in time of trouble. Daniel's thrown into the den with bloodthirsty lions, not expected by anybody to come out alive. But God closes their mouths, gives him peace. He comes so near, and he's like, Daniel, I see where you're at. I see the trouble you're in. I see exactly what you're going through. I'm going to come incredibly near to you. I'm going to shut the mouths of your adversaries. And I'm going to empower you, and I'm going to bring you out of that pit. And he brought him out of the lion's den, didn't he? Same thing, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? Get persecuted, get thrown into the fire. Same exact thing. Nebuchadnezzar, it's arguable, but they're pretty sure that the fourth person in the fire was Jesus himself, standing with them, standing with the three, and delivering them out of that present time of trouble. It's unbelievable. This is who he is, you guys. This isn't just a fun sermon. I'm not excited just for the sake of being excited, and so my voice sounds good on the recording. Not concerned with that at all. I'm excited because this is real. This is true. This is so true. How many of you, raise your hand, have a story in the past where God has came near to you in your time of need and been very close in a time of trouble? Raise your hand. Almost every single person in the room. This is just what he does. It's what he's done all throughout the ages with the saints who went before us. It's what he's doing now in your lives. And it's what he'll continue to do forever. It's just who he is. He's amazing. So I want to end today by looking at verses 2 and 3, and then at verse 10, okay? So we know that God is our refuge, our strength, and our very present help in times of trouble. We know that. Verse 2 comes in, though, and it says this. Let's read it together, okay? Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth should change, and Though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, we will not fear. So verse 2 comes in and says, therefore we will not fear. Now, if we're honest, in our times of trouble, when circumstances are seemingly mounting up against us, right, our propensity is to fear because we're human. So when all the all the poop hits the fan, I learned my lesson. Sorry, that's not a bad word in the States, but apparently it is here. So I apologize. Cultural differences, I'm learning and submitting. So anyways, when the poo hits the fan, do you guys have that expression here? Okay, it's basically, you don't even know what I'm talking about. But it's basically when everything goes wrong, is basically the other way to say that. When everything goes wrong, we don't have to fear. We don't have to fear at all. But our propensity is to fear, isn't it? When everything starts going wrong, our propensity is to go to look at the problem and to look at everything that's going wrong and to be overcome by it. Just because we're human. I'm not saying that's not necessarily okay. It happens. But ultimately, our way out is always Christ, isn't it? Our way out is always taking that before Him and asking Him for help. The thing is, though, that when we give in to that propensity to fear, we unintentionally look at whatever it is that's happening in our lives. You know, we unintentionally look at that through the eyes of fear instead of the eyes of faith. And what the psalmist is saying here is he's saying, because God is our refuge, because God is our strength, because God is our very present help in times of trouble, and we know that, we've experienced that, we do not have to fear. We don't have to. We can actually use, you know, God has given us a choice for a reason. You know, He didn't make like these robots that all sort of function the same way and just automatically we're set to choose Him. We actually have a role to play in that, don't we? We have a choice in everything in life. We have a choice to choose Him in the midst of that. And now, don't get me wrong. We've had some recent struggles recently. I won't get into the details. Brittany and I have. And in the midst of those struggles, at times I find myself under the weight of them. And I have to go, no! I'm not going to be under the weight of them. I'm going to go to the Lord. And I'm going to surrender my struggles to Him because I can't do anything about it. Me trying to process it in my mind and trying to do things in the natural to fix it aren't going to work. I'm weak, but He is strong. That's who He is. The earth is changing all around us today, isn't it? It's changing in some dramatic ways. There's things all over the earth happening that are, if you only watch the news, you are going to be a depressed individual. If you watch the news too much, I'm serious, if you watch the news too much, I'm thankful. I would love a TV, but we don't have one, so I am thankful in some ways that we don't, because, you know, you can get so caught up in watching all these terrible things and reading all these terrible things, and I do sometimes, reading blogs, I'm like, oh my gosh, this happened, and this happened, and this happened. We can get so caught up in that we just become these depressed people that are under the weight of the terrible things happening in the world, not realizing that we have the hope of glory living within us. And we stay under that weight instead of rising up in the reality of who we are in Christ and walking in light of it and being hope to a lost and dying world. Not adding to their depression. In no way, shape, or form should we be coming, sitting by people who are lost and be like, I'm depressed too about everything that's going on. We should be a light in the midst of the darkness. I'm not saying we shouldn't be real. We shouldn't acknowledge it. We shouldn't be empathetic. Sympathetic, we absolutely should. But in that, let's not let it get us into a place of depression or a funk, like I like to call it. You guys have heard that a couple of times. Let's rise above. Let's not be in fear. Let's not walk in fear. We can walk in faith. We can walk in hope. We can walk in love. We have nothing to fear. Verse 10 says this. We'll end here. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. You know, when stuff happens in our lives that's not good, and we don't like, A lot of times we strive, we try, and we work so hard to try to fix it and make it better ourselves, don't we? And now, I'm not taking away from the fact that sometimes there's a role that we play, but we always play that role in conjunction with our relationship with God. We always play that role under His leadership, submitting it to Him first and being empowered by Him to then play that role. We can't and don't have to fix things in our own strength. We can't fix them. We're just not able to. And we don't have to fix them. All we have to do is remember who our God is and that He is completely safe and trustworthy. In the midst of those times, we just need to remember He is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our very present help in time of trouble. And this God is completely safe. He's completely trustworthy. All we have to do is go to Him. Talk to Him. And open up and allow Him to be our very present help in our times of trouble. That's probably the main thing we leave out and we forget in those times, isn't it? We forget to go. I'm just speaking for myself even, too. We forget to go to Him. We forget to talk to Him. We're like, He feels too far off. He feels too far off now. I can't feel Him. It's not about your feelings. It's never been about our feelings. We just need to go to Him. Because we know who He is. And we know how He's touched our lives and how He's worked in our lives. And how He wants to work in our lives in whatever it is you're going through today. We just need to go to Him. We just need to open our mouths and speak with Him. Talk to Him. See, what we do, because we're human, is we go to everybody else and we begin to open our mouths and speak to them. And a lot of times that negativity then creates a negative vortex that is completely unhealthy and that just sucks us in and swallows us up and then eventually spits us out. And then we feel so depressed that we feel like we can't do anything. We need to stop going to everybody else to fix our problems. And we need to go to the One, the Creator. The only One who can fix them. Am I right or am I right? Let's just be honest today. We go and we just start this whole conversation on Facebook and on the phone and on texting and through email and whatever mediums we use. Just sitting down with somebody for coffee. We just complain and we complain and we complain. Despite the fact that the New Testament tells us not to do that over and over again. And tells us actually what it will do to us if we continue in that way. But we follow that road. We think it's somehow healthy. We're like, we convince ourselves we're having healthy conversations. These are mature conversations. This is good. We need to share these things. I'm not saying we don't be open with one another. But anytime we take that criticalness into those conversations, and without inviting the Holy Spirit, without talking to Him, we're doing ourselves no favors. We really aren't. We're really doing ourselves no favors. We actually, there's many, many times where I've had to go and repent to people and say, hey, you know what? I'm really sorry for unleashing on you. Because what I really should have done is said, hey, I'm having a hard time with this. Could you pray with me? And instead of humbling myself before my brothers and sisters and asking them to be the body of Christ in my life, I swell up in pride sometimes. We all do this. Swell up in pride sometimes. And we try to go handle it ourselves and think through it ourselves and talk about it. And it's like the talking can be constructive at times, but the prayer is what is going to bring the breakthrough. Again, all we have to do is go to Him and talk to Him and open up and allow Him to be our very present help in our times of trouble. See, God is for you. He's for us, not against us. We sang it today, didn't we? God is for you. He's not against you. God is more than willing. He's abundantly available, like we talked about earlier, to give you faith in exchange for your fear. He's like, hey, are you struggling? Okay, I see it. I'm aware of it. Now here, let me give you my faith for your fear. He loves to do it. He loves to give us His faith. You ever had those times in life when you are full of faith in the midst of an adversity and you don't know why? It's because you went to the Holy Spirit. It's because you went to the place of prayer. It's because you went to God first. And in the midst of the circumstantial heat that's turning up all around you, you find yourself at peace because you've conversated with peace Himself. And He gives it to you. beautiful thing. He will give us His faith for our fear. And He will empower us afresh every single time. He never stops. He never stops doing this. He's never going to stop being our refuge. He's never going to stop being our strength. He's never going to stop being our very present help in our times of trouble. He's never going to stop doing that. No matter what you go through, no matter where you go, no matter where you find yourself, He never stops. He's relentlessly after your heart. Relentlessly after a relationship with you. I want you guys to all stand this morning, if you would, please. Again, verse 10, cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Some of us this morning, we're going through some things. Some of you. And you felt like you need to handle it in your own strength. And you felt like you're the solution. And you have all the answers. And what you need to do this morning is just come to the Lord. This is what I've done in the last week, to be honest with you, myself. So I'm not preaching this at you or asking you to do something that I'm not doing or haven't done myself. This is what God has done with me as I've studied this psalm and in my life. He's given me grace and given me power to come before Him and to lay it at His feet. And this morning, I feel like there's some people in the room who that's just what you need to do. That's not simple. It's really not complicated. It's not intimidating. It's just you saying, I've been trying to do this on my own, and God, I just need you. I need your help. And I believe that if you will respond to the Lord, whether physically or in your seat, it doesn't matter. But if you respond in your heart, that's what matters. That He will come and empower you, and He'll do exactly what He said He was going to do. He does it every time. You've experienced it before, and you're going to experience it today, those of you who are struggling. So I just want to ask, that if you feel that way, and if what I've said this morning, what Psalm 46 has said this morning, rather, has impacted you, and you feel like you want to respond, and you want to have some brothers and sisters, that's what this is. That's what the church is. The church is people. It's not this building. We are the church. And the church is people utilizing that which God has deposited within them to bless one another and to bless those who don't know Him. And this morning, I want to ask you in humility to respond and to come forward if that's you. And we're just going to have other people in the church, brothers and sisters, who will just lay hands on and pray with you. And so I'm going to pray, and after I get done praying, I'd like you to just come forward, okay, as you feel led. Father, I thank You, God, for Your word this morning. Thank You, God, for the wisdom in Psalm 46, God, that You revealed in song, God. And I thank You, God, that we've been saying into different aspects of it this morning in worship. Father, I pray, God, that You would touch every heart, that You touch every mind, that You would strengthen each person in this room with might through the Holy Spirit in their inner man, God, to respond to You in their heart, whether that means coming forward and receiving prayer or whether it means staying in their seat. But Father, I pray, God, that You would bless every individual. Speak, God, blessing over every mind, every heart, every life, every single person in this room, every person's family. Strengthen us with might, God, through Your Spirit. In our inner man. We love You.